Hi, everybody. First, I want to thank the Women's Caucus for allowing me to be here. I really appreciate that. And yes, I'm Janine Everhart, aspiring doctoral candidate here. I think everyone's seen this to their heart's content, but I have no financial or other relationships to disclose. So I want to get started and talk to you about some environmental effects pilot study that we just put together. To give a little background, as most of you know, breast cancer is most common cancer in women. And it's a large amount of mortality, a higher mortality in Hispanic women, and second most common cause of death from cancer, white, black, Asian Pacific Islanders, and other races. In inner city Toledo, we've noticed that something that has shown itself out in the data, African American women, they do have a lower incidence rate of breast cancer than white women, yet their mortality rate is higher. And the studies have shown that some of that is due to more aggressive tumors in African American women. So by the time that they're screened and diagnosed, they're in a later stage. Ohio itself, where University of Toledo obviously resides, has lower breast cancer incidence than the nation, but higher breast cancer mortality rate in the nation. I've been working at the Center for Health and Successful Living with breast cancer survivors, and a lot of our folks are inner city African American women. And people always ask me, you know, why is that? What's going on with Lucas County, Ohio? And that made me think about this study. So Lucas County, where Toledo is located, does have high minority population, lower income levels, and there is these higher breast cancer rates. One of the things when I was looking to see what might be causing this is some reports put out by the Lucas County Health Department. We have a very strong relationship with the health department, especially the minority group there led by Mr. Dennis Hicks. And they had put out a report in 2013, and they felt that there's the center around where Toledo was may have higher rates due to disparities. So, and that's a pretty prevalent thought. So what I wanted to do is see if that seemed to be true using some other data sources. So cancer risk, as most of us in health know, they are primarily considered through demographic factors like your age and income, your race, gender, socioeconomic status. And then there's health risk factors. Are people obese? Is there family history? Do they have smoking? Other things like that. But I was interested in might there be an environmental factor that is part of this as well. I think a lot of us in my family, I know we were touched by cancer, and there seemed to be none of these risk factors, and that made me think, I wonder if something else is going on. And of course, there's a lot of people doing studies on that now. So I wanted to look at these communities in Lucas County and see if I found the same kind of correlations with these demographic factors. So the purpose of the study, again, I call it just an exploratory study or a pilot study. It's not in-depth. I'm trying to nail down some methodology right here. But it was to use these secondary data sources, including what's called spatial data, which is this geographic or environmental data, and try to see if I could come up with some kind of community breast cancer risk profile for the county. So that was the idea. So, again, the research questions, we wanted to see how incidence mortality rates by Lucas County may differ by zip code, what demographic factors may be in those zip codes that could possibly affect breast cancer, and then what environmental factors may be in those zip codes that could possibly have a breast cancer effect. Now, the methods that we used, I want to thank the Ohio Department of Health because we went through, it was a bit of a laborious IRB process, but we were able to get cancer data. I don't know if you're all familiar with NACER version 13 of the cancer registry information. SEER has cancer registry information too, but not for all states. Ohio has their own, and it's called this Ohio Cancer Incident Surveillance System, OCISS. I wanted identified data so I could have street addresses. And that's very difficult to get permission for that for good reason. But I was able to work with them and my professor, Dr. Bordley, to get this. And we were able to get the cancer registry information for the entire state for breast cancer for the past 5 years. 2011 is the most recent year they have. And again, it did include that address information. So that's an extra hurdle you have to get that information. Then we started my team getting environmental information, and we started really with EPA information, and we looked at carcinogens and pollution. We also looked at some other environmental things, brownfields, green space, food deserts, and some other things I'm going to talk about a little bit more. But for the purpose of this presentation, where I'm really talking about methodology, I'm just using the carcinogen information as a case in point. We used the TIGRE files and census data, which gives you a lot of demographic information, including socioeconomic status and some other things, as you all well know. And then we are using ArcMap, ArcCatalog, the ESRI, geographic information software. Anybody that deals with GIS knows that software is kind of the biggest in the field. And developed some shape files. Some of the shape files, which are the files formats used by geographic information systems, some were from the vendor, ESRI, they're readily available. And then some of them for the EPA data was created by the researchers on my team. So there's our data sources. And the analysis we've done, we're still working on this, and honestly, it's going to take a little bit longer before we're finished up and ready to write the manuscript. But we started off doing frequencies on some of the demographic information we got through the Census Bureau, and then we created these geographic layers to view on top of the census data. And again, we've had other data layers based on another environmental factors, and then we started doing some statistical spatial analysis with kerneling to try to determine areas of interest. And again, like I said, we're still underway with the data analysis. We actually want to put a lot of different environmental factors on to see if we get more correlations. And then we want to do regression to find the predictors. So still kind of in the midst of the analysis. So some preliminary results. To show you, this is, of course, the state of Ohio, and the red area up top is Lucas County, and Toledo's located kind of in central Lucas County. Here's some information on the demographics. There's Lucas County with Toledo, kind of showing you where that's located. And we can see that in Toledo versus Lucas County as a whole, you can see Toledo is a lower income and higher minority area. And Lucas County is actually also lower income and higher minority than nationwide. So it gives you a sort of a picture of the demographics. So this is by zip code. This is showing you the population centers. So the darker red is the higher population centers, and then orange up from there. So you can see that the higher population centers are primarily in the center of the county, and along the fringes it's less. And as you may know if you're familiar with that area, there's centers of Ohio that are big cities, but then when you get on the periphery, you're more in farm country, Amish country, and down south in Appalachia. So there's the city centers, and then there's the other areas that are less populated. So again, right here is where we're seeing where we had an interest. Toledo is right about in here. Is it showing up? Yeah. And this, I told you in that 2013 report from the Minority Health Commission, they were very interested in this particular area of red here. That within here are the five zip codes they felt were the worst cancer effects, and mostly due to disparities. And sure enough, that area, through the census data, is the areas of low income and high minority populations. Is those these zip codes. So what we wanted to see is, well, based on sort of standard thought, these should be the zip codes where we'd have higher incidence of breast cancer and higher mortality rates for breast cancer, right? Because it's following sort of the standard thought. Well, it wasn't quite that way. As we can see, the higher incidence rates are over in these red areas. This is near a city center, but these two are more of the lesser populated areas. This happens to be, and not that we know that there's any correlation, but this happens to be Lake Erie up in here, where we had such a nice water situation this summer for anybody following that. And this is where we're getting along a little bit more of the less populated areas. So this was a little bit of a surprise for us. Again, that's just highlighting those areas. And then mortality rates, we are seeing a little higher mortality rate right around here in the center. But again, there's this one county. So as we started looking at this, and a real benefit to geographic information systems, there was another presentation earlier this week, and the person said, you know, a real benefit to this is that you can visually zero in on questions that you want to ask, right? So it's actually an extremely useful tool that we're going to all see more and more in research, I think. So average age of diagnosis, this is another thing we just want to look at, see if there was something interesting. And I don't have any answers to why this may be, but there are certainly the question, a quick visual representation of the county, and we see that down in some of these less populated areas, we're seeing early time of diagnosis at an early age. And again, right now it's just formulating the question, why might that be? So it's funny, as I was trying to nail down some methodology in this research, I was like, wow, you could do a lot of research in here because there's so many questions. So it's actually provided very interesting information to me anyway. Now, I wanted to show you just an example of the environmental overlays. And again, we're just sort of starting on this. And again, we don't anticipate that we'll find causality, but it might be interesting to find some correlations and some predictors. But as an example here, this is breast cancer occurrence. Okay, again, you've seen that part as far as the colors, but then those little dots are carcinogen release points. So what I mean by that is in some areas, like perhaps around this area, for example, there might be manufacturing facilities. I think in this area there's some manufacturing facilities that makes automobile brake pad pieces. And so they're grinding things that have different carcinogens, and it's being released into the air and into the soil. So I can't tell you. I mean, some people have said, you know, Janine, what exactly are the carcinogens, and is there? And I was like, I don't know yet. I mean, we're just starting with the broadest brush and starting to zero down. But this is interesting to me because, and I may have it on the next slide. I can't remember, but you can say, well, am I seeing a pattern here? Because I don't see them necessarily all in the red or all in the orange. But what's interesting is you don't see any in the green, right? And you don't see any in the green. So what is, you know, so what does that mean? And again, this is incidence rates. Yeah, so again, none in the green. Now, this is the mortality rates. Okay, so again, the colors you've seen in a previous one, the dots you saw on the screen, the map I just showed, but this again is the death rate. So the question I would have is, if the incidences are high, for example, here, is that area perhaps eventually going to turn red here with a death rate? So something that really triggered all this for me, and I'll talk about it again a little bit more, is can we use this type of information to develop predictive models and therefore have proactive interventions? So the implications of this, first of all, anyone that's utilized secondary data sources, and I think some other people in these presentations have done this, they know that secondary data sources, it can be a low-cost method as opposed to doing primary research. Okay. The Ohio Department of Health information was positively critical for this, and it didn't cost anything other than the time and working with ODH. And of course, them being nice enough to give this to us. I talked to SEER yesterday, or NCI yesterday. The SEER databases will have a cost, but it's still small compared to going out and doing a lot of primary research. So the question is, can we start to really utilize these secondary data sources? Not as an answer to the whole question, but as a way to get us started. The next point, as I mentioned before, this GIS data quickly points out things that are going to lead you to ask further questions. And you can then start with the spatial data or location data, have a consideration for environmental influences. Interestingly, and as I've done some literary searches on this, in the research, there's been a number of studies where people were trying to find an environmental influence that was completely tied to some morbidity. So they might say, you know, is there something in the drinking water here that's causing this kind of breast cancer? Is there something in the air that's causing this kind of lung cancer? And very few of those studies in the past year have been able to show that causality. And even with GIS data, most of what I've seen is about access to care or location. You know, if you're this far from a healthcare facility, if you're this far from a grocery store. But I haven't seen too many that combine all these different parameters together. So, again, what I'm interested in way off in the future is it possible to build a model of risky areas based on the demographics and the environmental factors? So I view it sort of like cancer as being a pot of soup. And a pot of soup has all these ingredients to it. And if you have all the ingredients just right, you have cancer. And the ingredients may vary, and different cancers may have different ingredients. So I think trying to find specific, it's this or it's this or it's this, is futile. What we need to do is kind of look at that whole pot of ingredients and see how we might be able to tweak things within there to change it so that we don't have the cancer. If we could do something like that, the models, as I said, they could be predictive. And since it's using data and computers, it could be automated. So that would save us time and help pinpoint certain areas that we could then attack with these proactive interventions. So that's the concept. I'm not the first person to think of this, I know, but I am kind of excited about it. If we look at it for some of our traditional kinds of ways of doing health education, health promotion, and we look at this needs assessment, this came from McKinsey in 2009. These are the steps in needs assessment, and it's really, we're really talking about doing something about these three steps in what he had as parts of the assessment. So that's kind of where it fits into the whole scheme of things from what I see. It's a risk assessment piece, and it's ways to gather data, analyze it, and identify risk factors proactively. Now, there were some limitations. I learned a lot doing this. And here's a list for those of you that might be interested. But the quality of information is really variable. When I first found out, I have a data background, and when I first found out that the data formats were consistent nationwide, I got very excited about that because I used to work with county tax assessor roles where it was different in every single county. And I was like, wow, they have this format that's consistent. The problem is that the data that's in those records varies so greatly with regards to quality. You know, there's people that put it in when we have time and resources to pay them to put it in, and they maintain it when there's time and resources for them to maintain it. So in some areas it's very good, in some areas it's very poor. We were looking at crime statistics because I wanted to see if there was something there, because higher crime rate could lead to higher stress could lead to cancer, right? And we found that just within Lucas County, the quality of the inputting the crime data varied so greatly from area to area that it was basically unusable. So there's a lot of things that aren't quite there yet. Another is that great care must be given to protect the privacy. Like I said, this is actually, people have actually been sued for this. If you have address information and there's some way to reverse engineer it down to a specific physical address and that somehow gets released, and you can imagine how sensitive people are about knowing other people knowing that they have cancer because they're afraid they're going to lose their job, things like that. So you have to be really careful about this, and it requires you to then sort of amalgamate the data, aggregate it to a higher level, which may take away some of the niceties of having the detail. Devising the meaningful visual maps can be challenging and takes a lot of time. So I had two GIS folks on my team, and they do this all the time, and it's still, I was nail-biting getting these, getting some of these maps here in time. The analysis requires specialty skills in GIS, so if you don't happen to have that in your where you work or in your university, you're going to have to develop relationships with groups that do that. I was talking to a university yesterday about this project, and they said they now require every single MPH student to take a GIS course. So it's becoming more prevalent. Another thing that was interesting, geographers and health education specialists may not have the same viewpoints. So, for example, when I was saying I wanted to see rates, by zip code, I think most people that deal with cancer know that usually do rates based on population, you know, incidence rates per 1,000 or incidence rates per 100,000. They normalized it to a completely different parameter because they didn't realize that. So we had to go back and rework all those maps. So it's you really have to have a common taxonomy and vocabulary because you're coming at it from different points of view. And the other is that the technology itself is getting better, like ESRI products in geographic information systems, but they're just not completely there yet. So the next steps, we want to expand. We want to look at more environmental factors. I just showed you carcinogens. We want to do more. We want to add in behavioral information, which may include things like obesity, BMI. We do have the data to go statewide. We want to do that because that one county down at the bottom was next to another county. We might want to see what influences there are there. And eventually, I'd like to include all the cancers and determine what factors predict what cancers, because like I said, each is its own different bowl of soup, and refine this predictive model. So I want to thank my co-authors, the GIS folks, I see a typo there, sorry, my faculty advisor, Dr. Bordley, and the other folks from Ohio Department of Health and Lucas County, and my professor, Dr. Thompson, who had an idea starting this. So thank you very much for your time and patience.